tuning in to Conversational Currency, Maryland's top small business talk show, hosted by Shadid Alisa.
Welcome to Conversational Currency. We are Maryland's top small business talk show. I'm your host, Shadid Alisa. Ladies and gentlemen, communication is a superpower, and conversational currency examines the value and importance of social skills for business in a digital era, told through the stories, the lens of today's business and thought leaders. Now, through the story of our guests and current events, we will answer the question, if you were able to say the right words in the right moments to every man or woman in a business setting, how different would your quality of life be? Now, success starts with seizing opportunity, and right now is your chance to grab the Digital Assets Action Plan. This is your step-by-step guide to package your skills and create wealth on autopilot through your knowledge and solutions and solving problems for people around the world. Go to www.digitalassetplan.com and use pay what you want pricing to get on the road to financial stability in your business today. Now, today's topic, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to cover how to grow money and use it at the same time, no matter what happens in the market, and why the top 1% use this strategy. My guest helps to ensure the financial health and growth of high net worth individuals, business owners, real estate investors, and retirees. He teaches his clients how to bank on themselves through an investment strategy that, if you stick around, he will share with us. My guest is not licensed in just one state, two states, but 10 states in the areas of life, property, health, and casualty insurance. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring to the stage Sari Ibrahim. How are you, sir?
Hey, Shadid, I'm good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Now, let's get into this discussion now. Sari, retirement isn't the gold watch after 50 years with the ride off into the sunset that it used to be. Mm-hmm. Many of my clients and listeners want to get rich now, retire early, and leverage what they've earned and enjoy it today. How have you seen the mindset shift towards retirement planning from your parents' era to today's mindset?
Yeah, definitely. It's a good question. Definitely a big change, first of all. People who retired like 20 or 30 years ago, I think, relied more on conventional financial planning and conventional wisdom, rather than today. It's more of the outside thinking, kind of outside of the box thinking. And what I mean by that is, like, conventional wisdom teaches us, like, you go to college, you work at a company as an employee, you have a pension. People had pensions 30 years ago. And if not, then you have a 401k or IRA, and then you've saved it for like 30 years. And then afterwards you retire. And there's obviously problems with that. Like, one problem is that, you know, we don't have pensions anymore. Now it's mostly just 401ks, 403bs, IRAs. And then with those comes volatility. So there's risk involved with saving. You also have to wait like 30 years to be able to use the money. Typically, if you use it under the age of 59 and a half, there's a penalty. So now that locks up kind of the ability to use those funds. So we can't get rich when we're young using those vehicles. And, you know, a lot of people are not keeping their jobs nowadays. As you know, I think at the time of this recording, September 2021, we're in something called the Great Resignation, where, like, I don't know, like 4 million people have quit their jobs already in the United States to become self-employed. So there's a lot of differences in how people make money today as opposed to 30 years ago. And there's also an introduction to a lot of different methods and vehicles that people are using that are different from a long time ago, from 30 years ago. And one of them I want to talk about on your show today, it's the use of bank on yourself, or use of the infinite banking concept for people to become their own source of financing.
Yes. Now that we have the setting by which this discussion will take place, take us into the world of banking on yourself and what that means for your clients, where they start, mm-hmm. and how banking on yourself helps to change the game for them financially.
Yeah, I could talk about how I first heard about this and why I thought it was interesting. And so I was reading a book called The Bank on Yourself Revolution by Pamela Yellen. And the author, Pamela Yellen, talks about Three, she talks a lot about a lot of different financial problems that people have, but she emphasizes on three of them. And the first one is interest. And this is the amount of interest we pay to other lenders to use their money. And if you really think about it, on average, one third of our money goes to servicing debt. So that could be car notes, credit cards, student loans, mortgages. A lot of people pay a lot of money in servicing debt. And it's not the interest rate that really matters, but it's the volume of interest. It's how many times you're going to pay interest to lenders. So that's a huge financial problem for a lot of people. And then, which stretches into the loss of opportunity cost you could have earned had you had that interest gone back to you. The second problem, taxes. So right now, as of 2021, we're in a relatively low tax environment. The highest tax bracket right now is 37% income tax. Compared to historically speaking, that's a pretty low. It's one of the lowest tax brackets we've had, which means at this point, the next step is for it to go up. I don't really see it going down. A lot of economists and financial advisors and planners don't see taxes really going down from here. They see it going up based off of certain projections, like the growth of or the rise in Social Security budgets, Medicare, Medicaid, the interest on national debt, all these factors consider. Suggest that tax rates will increase in the future. So that's another problem. And the third problem is volatility or market risks. So we talked about, you know, the problems with IRAs, 401ks, 403bs. There's market risks involved with those, and nobody could really control market risks. So Bank on Yourself was designed to address those three things: market risks, taxes, and the interest you pay to other people.
Okay, excellent insight. Now, for my listeners who understand that there's true financial power in banking on yourself and being your own bank, mm-hmm. where can my listeners start? What's the starting point or the foundation? What's the profile look like for someone who's ready to bank on themselves?
Yeah. So it's number one, it starts with the mindset. It's not so much of an income amount or a net worth that you have, but really your mindset and you wanting to step outside of kind of the boundaries that you've been taught. Like if you know, this is more of unconventional, not so average financial planning. So that's the first step, is the mindset. You want to think differently. You want to be different. You want to do different things from other people. And the second thing is you want to work with an advisor who understands the Bank on Yourself concept, or also known as the infinite banking concept. You want to make sure that they know how to structure the policies and they know how to apply it to your life. This isn't just about buying a product. It's about using it that's going to help, that's relevant to your life, and it's going to help you improve your life. That's second. Second is a financial, some sort of a competent financial advisor. And the third is obviously you need to have your own set of paths where you want to go. You need to outline those and really emphasize on where you want to go. One thing I've been seeing a lot of people doing is when it comes to like financial concepts, is they try to chase what everybody else is doing. Like, and social media obviously helps this, where it becomes a trend to try to invest in a stock or some sort of cryptocurrency or anything. And it's not to say that cryptocurrency and stocks are bad, but rather what I'm saying is, you want to have your goals and then figure out what could help you get to your goals rather than just chasing other people's goals.
Excellent insight. Now, when we talk about, let's say, a non-conventional strategy or yeah. unconventional strategy, that ties into mindset. Now, you've worked mm-hmm. with several wealthy people. What would you say are the characteristics and habits of someone who is considered ultra wealthy or financially healthy?
Yeah, so people that I've seen that are high net worth individuals, they're thinking definitely long term. They're not thinking about just like this year or like next year. They're thinking about the next 30 years or even the next generation. So that's one thing I've seen. And then the second thing is they kind of have a two-way street when it comes to the cost of something. So most people, like for example, if I go to the store and I spend $100, most people would just see that as, you know, you had X amount of dollars and then you subtracted $100. Now you have $100 less than when you started. Wealthy people would look at it as more than that. They would look at it as the initial amount of $100 spent plus the loss of opportunity cost you could have earned had you had that money invested over the years. Let's say you had the money invested at 10%. Over 10 years, you take the number 72, you divide that by 10, that comes out to 7.2. So that means that every 7.2 years, that $100 would double, assuming we invested $100 somewhere at 10%. compound growth, it would be 7.2 years to double. So that means if you took $100 today, you went to the store and you bought something, a wealthy person would look at that as in you lost $200 over the next 7.2 years. So they're thinking about compound growth for the future. And then the third part that, you know, I've seen a lot is which adds to number two, is that they're thinking about never ending compound growth, how to always keep your money growing, not just how to make it grow fast, but how to keep it growing steady.
Now, if we were discussing, let's say, business growth, yeah, the concept or the next step would be to review the business plan. Since we're talking financial and wealth strategies, the idea would be to put together the financial plan. Now, many business owners, entrepreneurs, et cetera, would go immediately to their CPA in order to have this discussion. But what I'm looking to learn from you is, what does the financial dream team look like if we're going to use infinite banking concepts?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. It's and you're right. So many people go right to their CPA when it comes to money. And there's a reason why people do that. It's because they trust their CPAs, and their CPAs usually have their best interests. They're getting paid to do their taxes or to their corporate returns. So they have their best interests at place. But I don't think that it ends with the CPA. You know, it could start, the conversation could start with the CPA, but definitely there are other professionals that need to be in the picture besides the CPA. CPAs, you know, could only be experts at so many things. Like, they're experts, for example, at filing income taxes and providing the correct deductions and credits, or not even credits, more deductions. Other types of CPAs might focus more on the credits. So really, you want to identify your objectives. Like, for example, if your objective is retirement planning, maybe it starts with a CPA, but then you'll need a CFP, a certified financial planner, or somebody who's like a bank or self-professional to help accommodate that. I've came across situations where I've structured like bank on yourself type whole life policies with clients, and then they'll say, all right, this looks really good. I want to run this by my CPA. And they take it to their CPA, and the CPA doesn't know anything about the bank on yourself concept or the infinite banking concept. Doesn't really know that much about whole life insurance. Doesn't really understand like compound interest and the growth of it. And as far as retirement planning goes, and then they'll say, like, you know, you're already in a good tax situation. You don't need to implement anything else. And the client will come back to me and says, my CPA says that I really need to do this. So what's happening is the CPA doesn't understand something, but they don't say they don't understand it. They're just kind of, in other words, to finish this off, you need other people in the picture that could work together. This is what a family office is, actually. A family office is a group of professionals who help people connect them to different things. Like, you have a CPA, you have a tax attorney, you have your corporate attorney, you have your financial planner, all working together for the client's needs.
Now, when we go into the concept of insurance, and for generations, insurance has been a tried and true path to wealth growth as well as wealth protection.
Yes.
And many young entrepreneurs think that insurance is for when they reach their 40s, 50s, and 60s. But there's a smaller percentage who, through infinite banking and other concepts, are taking advantage of policies earlier. Can you please explain why, in layman's terms, insurance is valuable for the young entrepreneur, creative, and or professional?
Yeah, and just to confirm, we're talking about like cash value whole life insurance, right?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so yeah, so cash value whole life insurance isn't just life insurance. It's not just for people who are older and who need to start planning for the next generation. It could also be used, part of the bank on yourself concept and infinite banking is using cash value whole life insurance. And that could be used when you are younger and young and healthy, and you have either, you know, too little, not that much money, or a lot of money. The financial aspect doesn't really matter, but really it's a way for you to preserve your wealth and grow it at the same time. Infinite banking or bank on yourself helps you use cash value whole life insurance for you to become your own source of financing and to mitigate against market risks, and to, of course, kind of put yourself into a 0% tax bracket. So the kind of, I'll talk a little bit more on the tax part of whole life insurance. So the way it works is you're using after-tax dollars. So for example, you have your job, you're working, you make money, you pay your taxes. And then from there, from the tax money, you deposit that into whole life insurance. You pay for the premiums that way. And then as it grows now, it's growing tax-free. And then when you take the money out, it comes out tax-free, even when there are gains. So this helps you paint a picture of being in like a 0% tax bracket when you're in retirement. So using cash value whole life insurance is more than just life insurance. It's not really for a particular age. It's more for a mindset, and it's more of a function rather than just the title of it. It's what you could do with it and how you could use it alongside other investments and other parts of your financial life.
So when we talk about the investment picture, how would, let's say, a whole life policy fit into a healthy investment portfolio, whether that's real estate, whether that's cryptocurrency and or stocks for the entrepreneur and or investor?
Definitely. So when you're using whole life insurance, it's not, when you're using properly designed cash value whole life insurance, it's not an either or situation. It's not like either I have to do stocks or cryptocurrency or whole life insurance. It's both, and you're using whole life insurance alongside other things. So typically the way it would work is, on a basic level, is you start funding a whole life policy. Now there's many different ways to do this. There are ways to fund it monthly, annually. You could do lump sums. You could do just one payment. There's many intricate ways of funding it. The financial analysis we do with clients helps us guide us on which way to fund it, how much to fund it with. But once you fund the policy, you have a certain amount of cash value you can tap into, you can borrow against and use. So you would fund the whole life policy, build up the cash value, and then borrow against that, and then use that and borrowed money to invest in cryptocurrency, stocks, real estate, or other investments. One thing that I'm a fan of, and a lot of my clients are doing, and I'm personally doing, is investing in real estate passively. So we have whole life insurance, we have the cash value in it, we borrow against the cash value, and then invest in passive real estate deals as limited partners. And this is where you're just investing in somebody's fund. They do all the work. You just put in your portion of the partnership, and then you have monthly distributions that come back to you that you can use to pay back the loan. And then you also have equity in that deal. And usually it's about a 5 to 7 year hold period. And then after that period, you get your equity back plus some profits, and then you pay down the loan. Now you have two assets that were built at the same time using one. And this is where Thinking Like a Bank comes in. The name of our show is called Thinking Like a Bank. And we're literally thinking. So one thing that banks do is they collateralize assets. So they have one asset, they borrow against that, and then buy another asset, and then borrow against that, and then keep doing that over and over again. So they're duplicating money with the same money. They're almost like planting seeds and growing it with the same, they're recycling the same dollars. And we teach people exactly how to do this. Most of our clients are real estate investors, both active and passive real estate investors. So that's something I'm a big fan of. I want to just put it out there that, you know, you could do this alongside passive real estate investing, which I think is, in today's world, one of the smartest investments you could do.
Let's go into real estate investment strategies. Many people suffer from shiny object syndrome, which means they jump onto the investment strategy that they may find in a Discord or Telegram group or on social media. What would you say for someone who is in their 20s is the best approach? Is it start with one strategy and build to success? Give us your take on how to build a portfolio the right way.
Yeah. So number one, you want to identify your objectives. You want to really drill down on your needs, wants, put all the tools aside, all the methods aside, and just try and focus on yourself. Think through the numbers and really think about what you want to accomplish. Do you want retirement income? Do you want to double your wealth? What is it that you want to do? Kind of really identify. And then this is where like financial coaches come in. And this is what we do with our clients. We help coach them throughout their goals. So that's what you want to start with first. You don't want an advisor who's going to just start pitching you products and tools and methods first, but first really wants to identify your objectives and really understand that. And then after that, you want to also have financial awareness, financial self-awareness. You want to know where you're at, where, you know, for example, if you're in debt, how much debt you have, what kind of debt is it, what kind of income you have, is it W-2 income, is it self-employed income, is it a combination of both, how frequent is it, what's expected to be every, how is expected to grow every year, what inflation, what do you think inflation will be? So you want to take all these financial components and your relevant financial components to like your self-awareness and put this all together and kind of connect these with your goals and your objectives. Like how far are you from it? You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you're right on track, 1 being you need to restructure everything. Where do you fall into that spectrum of you being on your goals? And you can figure this out by connecting your financial analysis to your objectives. And then again, this is where competent advisors come in, is by being able to help connect these two things for you. And then you want to have a plan. And this is where a lot of people, I think, make a mistake, is they don't follow through with the plan. So you want to have like 6-month reviews where every 6 months you're reviewing your goals over and over again to see like, are you headed in the right direction? So, and then beyond this, there's many different ways that you can keep going as far as, you know, how to have a solid plan and how to avoid the shiny object syndrome. Another way to do that too is avoid shiny object syndrome is you have a certain set of principles that you stick by and you only apply those. Like for example, let's say that my set of principles right now are only to you to invest in passive real estate deals as a limited partner in the Chicagoland area, with funds being between 50,000 and 100,000. And I only do one deal a year. Now, everything else, any other investment opportunity I come across, some cryptocurrency, some stock, whatever the case might be, it doesn't fall into those categories. Now I'm automatically going to exclude it. And this is something I see a lot of successful people do, is they have a certain set of guidelines or standards that they have. And they're thinking like underwriters at an insurance company or at a bank, where they only have a set of guidelines. And if anything doesn't fall into those guidelines, they automatically just exit out of it and ignore it. And successful people ignore more opportunities than they accept.
Excellent. Now, your contact information will be in our show notes, but please, as we wrap up, tell our listeners about your company and take us into the problems you solve for smart investors and entrepreneurs.
Yeah, so our company is called Financial Asset Protection. You can find it at finassetprotection.com, finassetprotection.com. You can look at our YouTube channel, our LinkedIn, you can schedule an appointment. Everything is in that website. And then pretty much what we do on a daily basis is we help clients with financial coaching and financial consulting. And typically, and we're a Bank on Yourself organization, a Bank on Yourself professional group. We're authorized by Bank on Yourself to help people with the concept. And a lot of our clients are real estate investors. So we help them invest in real estate, either actively or passively using their dividend paying whole life insurance policies. And we also, more importantly, we coach them through different strategies and we help them identify other investments that they're doing. So we don't just simply say, hey, stop doing everything you're doing, do this. We look at what's currently happening, what's currently working. And, you know, if you want to stay in that environment, we help you stay in that environment. Everything we do is more from a coaching perspective. It's all done virtually in all 50 states over the Zoom and over the phone. And then, yeah, we're always definitely looking for new clients. And the most important thing we look for in new clients is just having an open mindset and wanting to think differently about money.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, retirement is no longer your parents' definition.
Yep.
The idea today is to cash in today and enjoy life while you're young, active, and vibrant. The concepts that were shared in today's broadcast, I want you to dive deeper into them and reach out to Sari and his team if thinking outside the box and building a portfolio is something that you want to make a priority. On behalf of Sari Ibrahim, I'm Shadidi Laser. You've been tuning into Conversational Currency, Maryland's top small business talk show. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you chose to be here with us. And for that, we appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Conversational Currency, Maryland's top small business talk show.